Gone. It's gone. There's several times in the last week I've wished I could just go home. And then I remember you can't go home. There's nothing to go back to. Even if the house survived, like pretty much the rest of town is gone. There's no power, there's no water, everything's gone.
You're listening to Jack Romero there, one of the residents displaced by the Dixie Fire in Northern California. It has now scorched nearly 500,000 acres and destroyed roughly 900 structures. California's second largest wildfire in history. Just the latest in a long list of climate-related disasters we have seen so far this year. And a UN report released this week points to human activity as the key factor driving global warming. The study from the UN's Panel on Climate Change saying temperatures will continue to rise over the next 30 years, even if countries take immediate action to curb greenhouse gas emissions. For much more on that, let's bring in one of the lead authors of that landmark report. We've got Kim Cobb, Georgia Tech Professor, Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, and Director of the Global Change Program. And Kim, it's great to talk to you today. One of the things that struck me about this report is this word unequivocal, talking about human activity unequivocally driving global warming. And it strikes me that in 2021, we're still talking about that. It's been 8 years since that initial report. What has changed since then that points to that word and the clarity, the certainty that says this is exactly why we are here today?
Well, thanks for having me. And first, I really want to give my best wishes to all of those who are so incredibly impacted by this spate of wildfires and horrific weather, not just across California, but also in Greece and Turkey. And this new report brings new clarity to humans' role in the ongoing warming that we're experiencing, calling it unequivocal. That's due to longer records, better models, and frankly, the signals leaping out of the background noise. But actually, human influence on climate is nothing new. We've known about this for several decades. What is new about this report is the very strong physical links that we can draw across multiple lines of evidence, tying climate and weather extremes, such as heat waves on land and in the oceans, extreme rainfall droughts, and yes, fire-prone weather to ongoing warming. That's the bad news from the report, but there is some good news baked in there as well.
So let's talk about the bad news first, because it does highlight the fact that the world has warmed about 2 degrees Fahrenheit since the 19th century. Conditions, according to the report, will continue to worsen for at least another 30 years. And we're talking about this in a year where we have seen record flooding in countries like China and India. We saw the heat dome out in the Northwest earlier this year. How much worse is it going to get if we're talking about the next 3 decades?
Well, one thing the report makes very clear is that this package of climate and weather extremes will get worse with each additional increment of warming that we let slip through our fingers. That's really the bad news. The report also helps us understand that the trajectory to 2050 will be warming, but that how hot it gets is still up to us. Even in that very near-term future, we are looking at either an additional half a degree of Celsius to keep warming to 1.5, the most ambitious goals outlined in the Paris Agreement, or let it slip to 2 degrees Celsius or warmer. Each of that additional increment associated with the worsening of these climate impacts and, of course, baking in consequences for later this century as well.
So let's talk about what can be done at this point. As we speak, you've got Congress debating two separate bills here that do include significant climate provisions, including money for EV charging stations, potentially a clean energy standard as well. When you look at what's being debated by lawmakers, how aggressive are those actions and how far are they go? Will they likely go in trying to reverse global warming?
Well, the most ambitious goals that are outlined by the Biden administration are consistent with achieving net zero emissions of greenhouse gases by 2050. That is a critical benchmark outlined in this new report, consistent with the most ambitious trajectory of reducing warming as much as possible to mid-century and reserving the right to cool into the latter half of this century. So yes, deep investments do need to be made. A bold, aggressive action is absolutely necessary, but the benefits are are also tangible, not just for the climate system, but of course, so many of these changes that we're talking about in terms of shifting away from fossil fuels have benefits to our economy, not the least of which is improved public health from air pollution and environmental deterioration. So we have to keep these things in mind as we take in the new risks that this report has dropped in our lap, policymakers across the country having to look closely at what series of impacts they will be facing now and how they weigh risk management going forward. Important choices.
On the private side, we've increasingly seen a lot of companies, right, take up the mantle on climate change in the absence of leadership on a federal level. What role do you think businesses can play in combating climate change?
Oh, I think they have a huge role to play. I mean, we need to be looking at aggressive action across every level of society. Federal action is absolutely required, but we need to have action at every institutional level to help us move this forward. And not the least because some of the most important advances that may yet come in helping us to accelerate action will come from public-private partnerships, as well as companies that are helping their communities, their employees, their workforce, and their stakeholders and shareholders understand what the risks are that we face with ongoing climate change and articulate why it's important to their bottom line that we reduce the coming risks of climate change as well. So all of these reasons, critically important motivators, I hope, for the private sector to continue to up the ante and raise their ambitions to be a part of this transition and make it as fast as possible.
And finally, Kim, we're talking about all of this just a few months out from COP26, of course, the big UN climate meeting over in Glasgow in November. What would you consider a successful outcome there? We've talked so much about climate change, and yet when you think about the major emitters, whether it's the U.S., China or India, there's still a lot of questions about how committed these countries are to taking aggressive action.
Well, certainly, I hope that this report lands into that conversation and really provides a foundation for policymakers who are coming together during those critical talks to really weigh the risks and the benefits of a near-term reduction in greenhouse gases, the kind of deep, sustained reductions that will keep us on the path to limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius by mid-century and recoup those near-term tangible benefits in risk management. The other thing I hope we see is a commitment to help developing nations who are both the brunt of climate damages from some of those worst possible outcomes. And so I know that's an important conversation that will be occurring later this year as well.
Kim Cobb, it's great to talk to you today. One of the lead authors of that UN climate report. She's also a professor at Georgia Tech. Appreciate you joining us.